think I'm the first.
I believe so.
Okay.
Has joined.
Good morning. Dovuoto will be starting momentarily. L'shem yichud kud shabarichu ishkinte bidchilu urchimu udchilu udchilu urchimu li'achda l'shem yudhe bavavhe v'yichuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael limud Torah mitzvah la'asok Torah mitzvah v'ayhino am Adonai Eloheinu aleinu ma'asei yadeinu k'nenei aleinu ma'asei yadeinu k'nenehu. Today we are studying the first Aliyah for Parashat Bo. And this Parashat, this Aliyah runs from Exodus chapter 10, verse 1 to verse 11. That's a total of 12 verses.
Vayomer Adonai Yohe Wahe Adanu Yo Yohe Dawanu Heyo El Moshe. Bo El Paro Ki Ani Hikbati Et libo et lev avadav leman sheti ototai ele bekirbo uman tesaper biaznei vincha uven dincha et asher hitalaltai Mitzrayim v'et ototai asher samti vam v'idatem ki ani Adonai Yohe Wahe Adanu Yo Yohe Dawanu He Yo Vayavo Moshe. We acharon el paro vayomru elav ko amar Adonai Yohe Wahe Adanu Yo Yo Wahe Dawanu He Yo Elohe Ha'ivri Ad matai me'anta le'anot mi panai shalami we avduni imayin atal shalea et ami hini mevio machar arbe bigbulecha Bekisa et ein haaretz, willo you call lirot et haaretz. We are call et yeter hap leta anisheret. Lachen min habarad, we are call et kol haet HaTzomeach Lachem Min HaSadeh U'malu Batecha U'batei Kol Avadecha U'batei Kol Mitzrayim Asher Lo Ra'u Avotecha Wa'avot Avotecha Miyom Heyotam Al Hadama Ad Hayom Hazeh Vayifen Vayetze Meim Paro Vayom Ru Avdei Paro Elav Almatai Yihyeze Lanu Lemoshe Lanu lemokesh shalach et ha'anashim v'yavdu et Adonai Yohewahe adanu yo Yohahe dawanu heyo Eloheinchem aterem Teda ki avda Mitzrayim Vayoshev Vayoshev et Moshe v'et Acharon el paro vayomer alehem lehu eivdu et Adonai Yohewahe adanu yo Yohahe dawanu eyo Elohechem miwami achochim vayomer Moshe binarenu Uvizkenenu nelech bivanenu uvivnotenu. Bina reinu uviskeinenu, ni nelech bevanenu uvivnotenu, bitzonenu uvivkarenu, nelech ki hagadonai yohewahe adanu yo, yohahe dawanu heyo. Lanu Vayomer elo alehem yehi ken Adonai Yohewahe Adonoyo Yohahe Dawanu Heyo Aimachem Kasher Ashalachetchem Viet Tapchem Reu Kira'a Neged Benechem Lo Ken Lechou Nahagwa Devarim, we alif du. Et Adonai Yohei Wahei, Adanu Yo, Yohaida Wanu Heyo, Kiota Atem Mibakshim, Layakaresh, O Damet Pene Paro. That's the completion of the first Aliyah in Hebrew. We will now begin the study in English. Hashem said to Moses, "Come to Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants. In order that I may place these signs of mine in his midst. The word that's being used is signs, oat, not plagues. And there's a lot of discussion of what is the meaning of signs. And essentially, the word for signs is oat, which is the same word for letters. And it's a hint to us, more than a hint. It's explaining how the world is created, how the physical world's illusion is created through the use of the Hebrew letters. In the movie The Matrix, they utilize the idea of the image of letters running up and down a screen. This is actually the way the world, the physical world's illusion. What we see is actually an illustration of words that are created by letters. And if you rearrange the letters, as which is the tool that Satan uses, then the world becomes a little bit corrupted. And the more of that corruption, the greater the corruption becomes. The more letters that are exchanged, that are changed in their order. And all of these things that we utilize in the Kabbalah, it's to help us understand how this system of letters works. Second verse. And in order that you tell into the ears of your son and your son's son how I made a mockery of the Egyptians, and that you tell of my signs that I placed in them, and you will know that I am the Lord. And again, it's not signs, it's oaths. Verse 3. So Moses and Aaron came to Pharaoh and said to him, "So said Hashem, the God of the Hebrews, how long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go, and they will worship me." Is God not the God of the Egyptians also? How can Moses limit Hashem to be the God of the Hebrews? And this is a hint that we all understand, that we need to understand. God is the God of every creation. He created everything. He created Egypt. He created the Egyptians. And he is the God of those people. But there is a process that we learn in the classes on You Are Who You Hate. The process is that every human soul will eventually become or go through a process of spiritual growth that will make them children of Israel. And this is the meaning of the God of the Hebrews. because every human soul will eventually become a Hebrew. Now, what is a Hebrew? The word Ivri is best translated as crossing over. So on a physical level, you say, oh, Abraham, who was the first Ivri, crossed over the Euphrates River, coming from what is now Iran into Iraq and then further along into the land of Israel. That's what the meaning of a God of Hebrews is, the God of those who cross over, but not the physical water or river of the Euphrates. Crossing over means people who choose to elevate themselves through meditative techniques to be in different dimensions, who cross over that limitation of those different dimensions, cross over to different worlds. Continuing to read the English translation. How long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go, and they will worship me. How does humbling, was Pharaoh ever humbling before Hashem? He always was saying, no, I don't want them to go. I won't listen to him. There's something wrong with this concept of what is humble. Humble doesn't mean be defeated, which is what it's implied here. Verse 4. But if you refuse to let go, behold, tomorrow I am going to bring locusts into your borders, and they will obscure the view of the earth, and no one will be able to see the earth. And they will eat the surviving remnant, which remains for you from the hail. And they will eat all your trees that grow out of the field. I don't know much about locusts, but I don't think they eat trees. They might eat the leaves. But I don't, obviously they'd eat the fruit. But I don't think they're eating the trunks. So what is this idea of eating trees that grow from the field? Well, the Zohar has explained to us that field can be the earth. And the tree is typically, there's lots of discussion about the tree being a tree of life. But there is also a corrupt tree, the tree of good and the knowledge, good and evil, the tree of death. And that tree only has two columns. And this is the meaning that will eat all of your trees, meaning the two column system that you, as the Egyptians followed, that the religions from the East follow. All of it is a corruption because the tree of life requires three columns. It requires a balance point. And your houses and the houses of all your servants and the houses of all the Egyptians will be filled with your fathers and your father's father did not see since the day they were on the earth until this day. He turned and left Pharaoh. Obviously, that was Moshe. Pharaoh's servants said to him, how long will this one be a stumbling block to us? Let the people go and they will worship Hashem. Do you yet know that Egypt is lost? This is an description of coercion. This was the advice that Paro was being given, not because they wanted to give that advice, but because they saw that Egypt was defeated. Verse 8. Moses and Aaron were brought back to Paro, and he said to them, "Go, worship Hashem your God." Who are going? Moses said, "With our youth and with our elders we will go, with our sons and with our daughters, with our flocks and with our cattle we will go, for it is a festival of the Lord to us. Festival of Hashem to us." Moses said, "We're taking everything and everyone." So Paro said to them, "So may Hashem be with you, just as I will let you and your young children out. See that evil is before your faces." This is a little confusing, this verse. I'm sorry. I need to look at the Hebrew. Neged is before. Neged is a word that has a number of meanings. We use it neged, keneged, mida keneged, mida, is coming from the same shorish, meaning opposite. So, see that evil is opposite your faces. What are the faces? The faces tend to be two levels, external and internal. What Paro is hinting at, if you leave Egypt, you're doing something that is evil. You're going against your nature. This is the same argument that was used in America in the arguments leading up to the Civil War about Negroes. They're less than white people. Therefore, they need protection from white people. They need their essences to serve as slaves. That's what this is implying with this verse that seems out of context in the verse. The 11th verse. "Not so. Let the men go now and worship the Lord, for that is what you request." And he chased them out from before Paro. So he said, go ahead. When Moses said, "No, we're taking everybody," he said, "No, there's no reason to take everybody. Your men are going to do the service, to pray, to worship before Hashem. And it's the men who do the worshiping." This is true in Egypt. It's been true in Judaism. But this is a justification. And we need to understand this justification. Because this is how our society impacts our consciousness. In what way does it impact our consciousness? Men have roles. Men pray. Men do the external connections. And women take care of the children in the house. These are roles. And this is the role in Orthodox Judaism. It's modified a little bit in this last, in our current generation, because women can go out and support the family while the men study. If women go out in our society. But all of this impacts our perceptions of the physical world and what we are to do, because it comes from roles. You can do this, but you're not supposed to do that. This is all false. Everyone has free will. Everyone may choose to do what gives them pleasure, because that's what we are in search of, happiness. As the Declaration of Independence says, have the right to pursue happiness. Doesn't say you have the right to be happy, but you do have the right to pursue happiness. All forms of sexes, male, female, and the other five words that are used in the Talmud to describe the sex of a person. That's the end of our reading for today. Does anyone have any questions? We're essentially out of time, but I will want to read another verse in the Perek Shirah. And as we discussed, we're still talking about the rooster. We've discussed the first call, the first cock-a-doodle-doo. Now the second. Bekol sheni omer she'arim rasheikhem Usu pitchei olam, vayavo melech hakavod, mihu ze melech hakavod, Adonai yohe wahe, adanu yo yo ahe dawanu heyo, tzivaot u melech hakavod selah. This second call is also from Psalms, but more importantly, it's directly after the first call. The first call was Psalms chapter 24, verse 7 and 8. Second call is chapter 24, verses 9 and 10. In its second call, it says, "Lift up your heads, O gates. Lift them up over everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in." Who is he, this King of Glory, this God of hosts? He is the King of Glory, Selah. We know that the word Selah has no translation, and we also are taught that when you see Selah, you are to contemplate what was just said, what was just read. So how do we contemplate this idea? We have everlasting doors, meaning there is an opening, but it can be closed. The King of Glory shall come in. Where is the King of Glory? First off, who is the King of Glory? And it's Hashem. Hashem HaKavod. That's the word for glory, but it's really the word for honor. So what does it mean that Hashem will come in? It means he will come down to the physical world. This is a hint to us when that rooster crows. It's a hint to get up and do the work that will cleanse the world so that Hashem can come down to the physical world. Hashem is infinite. The physical world is finite. How can that be? And yet, that is the paradox that every human being is told to work for, to work towards, and especially the children of Israel. You're achieving a paradox. You know what a paradox is in work? You want to break the spirit of a person? You have him do work that has no purpose. You have him dig a ditch. And when he's done digging the ditch, you tell him, fill it in. And when he's done filling it in, you say, dig it out again. This is how you break the spirit of man, giving him work that has no purpose, giving him work that he does not understand the purpose. This is what we have to deal with in our faith, in our certainty. What is our work? To cleanse the world. To what purpose? To bring the infinite down to the finite. But what is that purpose? We don't understand it. And this is how people lose their faith. Does anyone have any questions? We have two classes today. One, we will start up again the 10 luminous emanations. And the later class will be learning Psalm 92. Shalom to all. Have a beautiful day. Shalom Gadol and Shavuot Tov.
Thank you. Thank you, Anup.
Thank you.
Thank you.